you can host the best backyard barbecue. When you find a professional on Angie to make your backyard the best around. Connect with skilled professionals to get all your home projects done well. Inside to outside, repairs to renovations. Get started on the Angie app or visit Angie.com today. You can do this when you Angie that.
Hey, everybody. This is Brian Silliman from Jabba the Pod, shamelessly stealing Matt Romano's bit. Before you continue to listen to this episode, I have a confession to make. I messed up my audio for this episode something fierce. If it sounds like I am being recorded by just a laptop microphone, well, that's exactly what happens. Sometimes you think you're big microphone has been connected properly, and you get to the end of the show and your editor says, yeah, it wasn't. So if it sounds off, it is my fault entirely, and for this I give my eternal apologies to everyone. Anyway, the episode is still fun, he says with hope in his voice. I hope you listen to it, and I hope you enjoy it anyway, and let's just say that it will not be this way again. Anyway, on with the show.
This is Jabba the Pod.
Right, sons, and welcome to Sci-Fi Wire's Jabba the Pod, our weekly Star Wars podcast where we discuss and celebrate the movie, shows, books, comics, games, and everything else from the galaxy far, far away. Every generation has a legend, every legend has a podcast, and this is ours. I am your host, disgraced former Jedi and Force mystic Brian Silliman. Joining me, as always, are the greatest co-hosts in the galaxy, starting with former Force-sensitive Assassins Guild member turned droids rights activist Caitlin Bush.
Hello there.
And the man who lets us record on his starship, the smuggler with a not-so-secret heart of gold, captain of the Starbinger, Matt Romano.
Greetings.
Also with us is our protocol droid, Y1RZZ, human podcast relations, also known as Wires, and his new best friend, former midwife droid, Mbop.
Hello, sir. I'm pleased to report that the official listing of what episodes we are covering and when is ready to be posted on social media. It may already be there now.
All right. Well, that's great. Hopefully, maybe it's up there. Maybe it's up there by the time you're listening to this. Who knows?
We'll see.
Time will tell. We are recording on Thursday, July 22nd, 2020, and that means there's a new episode of the Club. No, not really. Can you imagine? We will be continuing our discussion of a show that's already been out for a while. Discussion and celebration of Star Wars Rebels.
You're all rebels, aren't you?
As well as continuing to do whatever the hell we feel like in terms of the galaxy far, far away. There's some potentially hot, hot, hot news in the air, however. It's hot, hot, hot! It's that time. It's overcompensating in the morning.
Okay.
Overcompensation in the morning. And that's kind of related. That what I just said is not unrelated to what we're going to go into. So let's go right into some news on the march. Okay, I want to preface this. This is not news. This is a rumor, but we don't have a segment that's rumors on the march. And a Padawan has already written saying you guys should have a rumor sound effect. And I'm like, you're absolutely right. But I haven't found one that I like yet. So in the meantime, this is what we're going to do when it's a rumor. I'll be like, this is a rumor. And I'll do this. That's a sound I can actually make. This is a rumor.
That kind of sounded like a Star Wars sound effect.
It sounds like something that would come out of Ludwig's wall of buttons and magic.
Who says it hasn't? I mean, who says Ludwig's not my very good friend and that he called me in special to, it's like, I need a symphony orchestra, a wall of computer. I don't think you are. I don't think that was genuine. That wasn't genuine at all.
I need a Silliman voice modulator.
It comes through in the recording, too. She's like, I'm happy for you. So it's like, you can all tell the venom between that. But if you saw the look on the face, is like, she's saying it, and it's like, there's a knife at my back, like, ready to go.
And there's like, my eyes are a little dead while I'm saying
it. Anyway, yeah. I mean, but let's get to the rumor. Now, this is, again, I want to say this is not news yet. It is not confirmed, but it's so exciting, and it's something that we really want. so we're going to say it. Apparently, Donald Glover is in talks to play young Lando Calrissian in his own Disney Plus series.
Captain Lando Calrissian, Han Solo.
So the last time we talked about a rumor like this, it ended up being the Bad Batch.
They call themselves the Bad Batch.
And that turned out to be true. So who knows? Like I said, I certainly want this to be true. If that counts for anything, Lucasfilm, I don't know.
All right. I mean, as far as I can tell, the rumor spawned from a Twitter account without like a whole lot of clout in any way. So God knows if it's actually true. No legitimate news sources have really picked it up. But it's still a fun thing to talk about.
Yeah, and I thought we don't talk about rumors in the news. Only when Brian likes the rumor.
You know? Yeah, that's exactly what it is.
That checks out.
That's you nailed it. It was an event. It was more in the news because Lando and Donald Glover were trending like a lot yesterday, among many other things. And they just kept trending. And the thing of Make Solo 2 Happen keeps coming back. And also over the last few weeks, it's any opportunity for anyone to write a hot take article on why Solo sucks. It's like, here's another reason. Let's churn out another one. It's like, you know what we don't need is another article like that. It's like, oh, man. So the rumors that Donald Glover is for something, if they don't call it, if this is true, what would we like to see personally if they don't call it the Calrissian Chronicles? I think they're missing out. Matt, we were talking about this a little yesterday. Right off the bat, you had a hot take, and I have to say I completely disagree with it. But what's your sound the hot take alarm? I'm going to preface it with that, but what's your take?
My hot take was that I hope this is a prequel to Solo. So we are in the time of Lando when he has the Falcon and L3 and all those awesome elements we saw in Solo.
You say with Star Wars, more prequels.
Well, but come on. Like, if they're doing a young Lando series, it's absolutely a prequel anyway. So just put it in the era when he has the Falcon. I want to see more of that glitzy, beautiful Millennium Falcon there.
I want to see the closet.
Absolutely more.
More closet cape
this
action.
This is also a way to get they could shoehorn Florence Pugh in as his secret stepsister or something, and then she's the new Lando going forward, right?
Huh? Okay.
That was a terrible joke.
Oh, my God.
Kevin, do you have anything to add on to Matt's hot take?
No, I think that's I really liked it when you said it yesterday. I know that Brian is going to come at us here. I can see him just like waiting with his, you're wrong, and here's what it should be.
Oh, yeah. Okay, first off, I don't do that. Second off, I'm not going to come at you. I'm just going to come at him.
I know. What should the Calrissian Chronicles be?
I'm not saying this is what it should. I think that's an interesting take, Matt. And I say it's dependent though on and I love everything about that because I love more of that Falcon and more L3. I love. It's going to be hard to get Phoebe Waller-Bridge. I'm going to say
it is.
Especially for a Disney Plus show. Not impossible.
Oh come on! They all want that Disney money. That Disney Plus money. She'll be in there.
I mean, I think she's doing just fine. I mean, I'll get her on the phone. We'll see.
Sure.
But I mean, I love her and I love L3. So I'm not totally against it. But I think we'd be losing out on some potential because if you treat Solo, the movie, as the pilot of this, then what are Lando's adventures then afterwards could involve things that were left dangling in the movie, like Crimson Dawn, Enfys Nest, Maul, Dathomir, Kira. It opens the door for characters from that movie to possibly come back. Alden Ehrenreich makes a special appearance. You know, Han and Chewie make a special appearance. You know, stuff like that. And we do see the Falcon again, except it's, you know, after he's lost it and, you know, curse you and maybe even, dare I say it, as Morrigan could pop in and be like in live action and go, Calrissian. And the thing is, Matt, is that there's a way for both of our things to be, it could be both.
Yes.
If it's like, say it's Calrissian Chronicles, it could take place before or it could take place afterwards. And here's my dream is because if, say, Lando is the narrator, say everything of this is Lando narrating the Calrissian Chronicles, he's probably a really unreliable narrator.
Yeah,
so absolutely.
What we're seeing happen is completely different from what the voiceover would be in his narration of the Calrissian Chronicles. So wouldn't it be funny to see, like, one event that makes him look stupid, and then as it plays over, his voiceover is like, and I handled it perfectly, and nothing went wrong, and it's while everything's going wrong. And so as you see, it's like, here's what happened, and here's the Lando spin of how he makes himself look cool at the same time. And that's like a subversive way to do it that I think Donald Glover would kill at
all right, well, so I like that too. That's cool.
I mean, but there's room for both. I mean, because there's he's already been doing the Calrissian Chronicles by the time we see Solo.
Well, I like that idea, too, because then it turns this show, it makes this show different because then it comes like an anthology series. So it's like the episodes don't need to be connected.
Yeah. It's like, I just love the idea of the narration being, here's the published Calrissian Chronicle, and here's what actually happened, and you're seeing them, you're getting both at the same time.
So yeah, right. No, that is hilarious. That would be very good.
And
yeah.
I mean, how did Lando first meet Lobot? You could get that too. I mean,
oh, yeah.
You already
yeah.
get like how Lobot became Lobot in the Lando comic. But
Cloud City origin story.
Who else could potentially return? I mean, I would love to see Emilia Clarke back in Star Wars again. That would be super fun. Mm, I would love to see Phoebe Waller-Bridge, even though, Brian, you're very much right. She don't need that Disney money right now.
Just one episode. Just one episode.
I mean, but right. I mean, that doesn't mean I don't want her back. Yeah, I do.
Right. Like, do. She'd be fantastic, but, like, she don't need that Disney money. Yeah, I think there's a lot of I would love to see, you know, just, like, a sweeping, like, pre-Solo, through Solo, through Rebels, to when we see an Empire. Like, I want the entire Lando story, basically.
Yeah, and though Donald Glover could certainly anchor it, it might not be the only Lando, because, Matt, you brought up an interesting point also in that who else, you know, in terms of Lando might we see?
Well, Billy Dee Williams. I mean, he was in, when he was doing press for Force Awakens, I think he was like...
Rise of Skywalker.
Oh, yeah, Force Awakens. Yeah.
He was not.
If you really squint,
he's there in the background of Force Awakens. It's just hard. It's just hard to see him.
He had to have been, you know.
Him and Constable Zuvio. They're both there if you really look.
He's wearing that big costume, you know, that he was wearing at the party planet in Rise of Skywalker, whatever it was. But anyway, on Rise of Skywalker press circuit.
The party planet.
He said that he might not be done playing Lando. So what if he's already, you know, in talks for this? And like you said, it's the Chronicles and he's doing the narrations, like looking back on his life. And maybe, you know, we get some Rise of Skywalker stuff in there too. Who knows? I don't know.
The narrations could theoretically be Billy Dee.
Yeah.
And the live action could be played by Donald Glover.
Yeah.
In like a very young Indiana Jones Chronicles type of way, except this time you know who both of the actors are.
I'd like to see an episode where Billy Dee rallies the galaxy, like how he took the Falcon into the center of the galaxy and was like, hey, everybody, we're going to Exegol for a party. And the whole galaxy went. Like, I'd like to see that.
And they were like, yeah,
we're doing it. Yeah.
No, I know. Yeah, I absolutely. And then see him go to every corner of random Star Wars canon.
Yes.
And it's like, hey, random people on Batuu that only visitors to the park and certain book readers have heard about. Let's go. And then Vi Marati's like, yeah. And she's got her cell ready to go.
Exactly.
I'm all for that. But well, he said in a Rise of Skywalker interview that they were playing this where they're like, this is the end of Lando. He's like, don't be sure.
Right.
He's like, he was like, he didn't put the pin in that as other Star Wars actors lately are very intent on doing, saying, yeah, it's over, I'm done.
Harrison Ford has been saying that for years, though.
That's true. I mean, Harrison Ford's like, I killed him off. I don't care.
I crashed my plane.
What's your official, we have him here. Harrison, what's your official stance on this rumor about young Lando Calrissian?
I don't care.
Okay. That's weirdly.
I forget that he's on the ship. Like, he's just here. You know,
he's just here in the background.
Yeah,
in a lot of ways, he is. He's always here. But yeah, Billy Dee didn't nail that door shut. So I think he also, you know, was happy to lend his voice to Star Wars Rebels, and so I think he is one of those actors that wants to stay involved. And I say bring it. Like, I loved him in Rise of Skywalker, and it was like, make him involved. Make it a celebration of Lando. Anyway, well, we're gonna. That's still just a rumor, but now, even after talking about it, I want it. So, and I'm entitled, so give it to me. Okay, we're going to continue to investigate this, but for now, we're going to dive back into Star Wars Rebels.
You're Rebels, aren't you?
Wires, what's on deck?
Oh, as per your orders, we would be devoting the entire discussion to the big episode at the beginning of Season 2, The Siege of Lothal.
That's right. One of my favorites. When it aired in one part, but now it's split up into two parts, so we're going to be doing both parts. The Siege of Lothal, Parts 1 and 2. Everything. And that's all we're going to talk about today, the whole discussion, because that's how much I love these episodes. Woo. This episode, I don't know. When I first saw it, it was just one big episode. I don't know. But everything we're going to be discussing is canon, but for big additions and big standouts, we'll fire off our trusty canon when we remember to do so. If we have hot takes along the way, we'll sound the hot take alarm. And if anything really blew our minds the first time or blew them all over again on rewatch, then we'll let loose with a seismic mind charge. You might as well prep that right now, because I got a few. These episodes have been out for a while, so we will dispense with the spoiler klaxon. They're all available on Disney Plus, however, along with my new show, Finding Werner, A Yoda Baby Story. But if you haven't seen them, we do highly recommend that you watch them before listening to this, because what is there, Caitlin Ambush?
There is a clear order in which you should watch Star Wars Rebels and then listen to our podcast.
That's absolutely right. There is a clear order, and we are not cowards. If we're all set, punch it!
Show me what you have on your Rebels.
Star Wars Rebels, The Siege of Lothal, Parts 1 and 2. Written by Henry Gilroy. And since we're only doing the one big episode, I can get these stats out. Directed by Bosco Ng, did part one, and Brad Rao did part two. Interesting, because Brad Rao is going to be the supervising director on Bad Batch. And this is another episode that, when I rewatched it, plays very differently in a good way in the wake of season 7 of The Clone Wars. After seeing the end of that, how we ended, and then seeing this, it was amazing at the time. But at the time, I remember... this came out. It came out before season 2 started in earnest. They released this first, kind of like over the summer, and it just blew my mind. I think this episode just took the whole show up a huge notch, to the point where the rest of the season 2 sometimes has trouble getting back to this spot. Like, it's like this is special, and the action is fierce and everything else. But it blew me away at the time, and I couldn't believe what I was watching, and it was such a step up, and it was really special, and it's one of those episodes that I bought it in every way you could buy it. I'm like, we'll buy it on iTunes, we'll buy it on Blu-ray, we'll buy it on this. It's like, I couldn't get enough of it. I loved this episode, and it holds up. It still holds up, even though exactly what's happening. Matt Romano, as someone who's seen it already, what was your first experience like with this special?
I was just super excited because, you know, it took me a while, like we were discussing in the past episodes, like a while to really, you know, fall for Rebels. Like, I think it was halfway through, you know, season 1 when I started, like, okay, we could, you know, this is more Star Warsy. And then this one comes out of the gate, and now you're like, with all the pieces on the table with Ahsoka and Vader, and it's like, wow, okay, we are going to see the start of the rebellion. This was the promise of the show. Like, I don't know. This just really jazzed me up.
I mean, this is like Matt Romano catnip in this episode. Because there's so many things in here.
Fan service.
Like, not fan service, but Matt Romano service. Because I'm like, how do you get, okay, if he's not on board, how are we going to get Romano on board? Throw a whole lot of A-wings in the episode. Maybe he'll like that.
Exactly.
I'm like, there's so much classic rebellion imagery that you didn't get in the first season, that all of a sudden it's like, oh, you want more rebellion? Well, we're going to put more rebellion in your car.
Right. No, and they're just like, oh, wait, the show is called Rebels? Well, we should do something with the rebellion. You know, like,
yeah,
I don't know.
It's like, and they did.
You this know, is a weird idea that I had.
Yeah, weird.
Here's the small cell, and here's the larger picture. It's what I think we both were waiting for with Resistance and never quite got, because that was a more small scale thing. Yep. We turned out the whole time. This show, it's like, we start small, and then they blow it up, and they will continue to expand. Caitlin Ambush, experiencing this for the first time, what was your take on this extravaganza?
I think it was really fun. Like I said last week, I'm only watching what it is we're discussing ahead of every episode that we're recording. So this week, I only watched this episode / these two episodes. And it was delightful and hard to stop after the end of the episode, but I controlled myself and didn't allow the next episode to play automatically. And it's really good. Like you said, Matt, like, it's like, oh, you wanted the rebellion. Well, here you go, which is the promise of the show and what I've been waiting for up until this point. I think season one starts to build on it quite a bit. And obviously by the end of it, we get to meet Fulcrum. We kind of start to understand that this is where we're going, but now we're actually here. Like, we're in the middle of it, which is wonderful.
Yeah. It's, and it's something that not all the characters are happy with. It's Hera and Zeb are happy that they're now part of something bigger, and Phoenix Squadron, a bigger rebellion, not the whole rebellion, but the Phoenix Squadron is another cell within a cell. So it's not the whole rebellion, but here's their little part. This is the side that has the A-wings, for example, you know. But Kanan doesn't like being a part of this bigger thing at all. He kind of wishes there was, like, remember when it was just us?
He's done the bigger thing, though. He did the bigger thing with the Jedi, and that did not turn out very well.
Yeah, well, skipping ahead a little bit, I mean, he says he's like we did all right on our own, and he's really uncomfortable with being part of the military like this, and doesn't care about protocol or anything. And Hera kind of has to take him aside and say, it's like, pretty much like, dude, what's the deal? It's like, and he's like, I liked it when we had our own noble cause. I liked our Robin Hood thing. And then he says, I survived one war. I'm not ready for another one. I saw what it did. And Hera says, to the Jedi. And Kanan says, to everyone. Whether you want another war or not, it's like, you're in one. So it's...
No, he was definitely happier just like doing the small stuff, just inflicting damage and like, yeah, Robin Hood, helping people on the streets, the street level.
So stuff went street rap. So now when Chopper bursts into the briefing room with a message, you know, protocol now, they answer to somebody. There's Commander Sato there, and they have to answer, and they have to go through proper channels. And Kanan's like, nah, just play it. What do we got? And it's like, Hera has to be like, you can't just do that.
Yeah.
And Kanan's response, I think Kanan's response is of, yeah, I can. And yeah, I'm gonna. So
I do whatever I want.
Yeah. I'm a Jedi. I do what I want. She's like, technically, you're just a Padawan. He's like, hey, no. What's this Kanan voice that's emerging?
Yeah, I don't know.
Do what I want.
Your Freddie Prinze Jr. impression? Yeah, I don't know.
No, Mr. Freddie Prinze Jr., that is not my impression of you.
No.
I do not want to piss off Freddie Prinze Jr.
That's like, she's all that, Freddie Prinze Jr.
It's not. Yeah. It's just like, that's when he gets a little bit of a snit. he's not going full Toro Calican.
No, never.
Nah.
Anyway, we cut in. I mean, we've already kind of covered a lot of this, but we cut right. It wastes no time. We cut right into glorious space battle. What a way to start. And it's not just the space battle, but it's the Ghost. It's blockade runners. It's TIE fighters. And I realized that so much of the fun of this show, even from the beginning, is seeing these classic New Hope Imperial designs in animation for the first time.
Yeah.
It's like, we'd never even seen TIE fighters before, or Star Destroyers proper, or any of this. So that's just a great thing for this whole series. I remember Dave Filoni saying when they were creating the series, like, all these years drawing for Lucasfilm, I never got to draw a TIE fighter. So
crazy.
When I finally did, it was cool. And George probably said, why are you drawing? It's all digital now. Why are you drawing? Put that pad down. That didn't happen. Anyway. So for the rest of the series, they're now pretty much going to be tied to Phoenix Squadron. And they're partial to A-Wings. Matt, the A-Wings make you happy? I know they did.
Oh, the A-Wings make me so happy. I mean, come on.
It's like coming home.
Come on. They're right here. There they go. I'm showing right now.
He's got his Lego.
He's got the original Snap Wexley A-Wing. Are we going to get the Snap Wexley rant?
Oh, my God.
Oh, wait, we'll get it. I don't know. Where's Snap? I don't know.
Are we going to get the Snap rant?
You know what's funny? I got old Han in the A-Wing right now.
Hell yeah.
Yeah, that scene where Han Solo famously flies that A-Wing.
Classic scene.
Yeah, that's canon.
It was a deleted scene.
It's canon to me now. I'm going to.
Damn right.
There's a read along.
It's just your fanfiction. It's just his fanfiction.
That's like the most obscure fan fiction. It's like, well, what happens? It's like Han flies an A-Wing. What else?
No, well, it was a weird time at Maz's temple.
I guarantee you I can find one of those.
And I landed the A-Wing in Maz's and crashed.
Save it. All right, save it, because that's good. Let's save it for the fanfic episode again, for the read along record, Matt.
Yeah, the read-along record.
By the way, you're playing Han Solo in the read along record as well as yourself. and probably also Dash Rendar. That's something. I mean, going back, I can't believe you didn't mention that when we were talking about Lando. It's like the Lando story that Dash Rendar could pop up in that show. We know,
Brian, you realize you just did this to yourself, right?
We're already out of it. So I'm like, but now the thing is, Matt's kind of made me a little bit of a convert, and now I kind of want it to happen.
I want it to happen.
I want it to happen for you.
That makes a lot of sense, because Lando being a smuggler and being in the underworld, like, of course he would bump into Dash Rendar, you know?
Well, according to, you brought it up from Tales of Vandor months back.
Thank
that
you.
Technically he already has.
Yeah.
So, I mean, who knows? Maybe he could again. So I can't believe you didn't bring that up. Anyway, back to what we're actually talking about. We also see the Rebellion helmet for the, it's, I don't know what you call this helmet, but it's the Rebel helmet that has the part of the helmet under the chin. It's the guy in Return of the Jedi when he says, there's too many of them. That guy. So it's nice to see that. And they're, you know, Sabine is out on the Phantom. They're getting cargo. They get the cargo away. It's a whole thing about getting this cargo. And when we see two new command class cruisers come in, and these are not quite Star Destroyers, but they're bigger than freighters. And these are light command cruisers, technically called the Arquitans class command cruiser, in case anybody cares. And we see a lot more of these when the job doesn't need a full Star Destroyer, but needs a little more firepower than a Gozanti. And this whole thing, I'm like, Ezra is busting in with the snips and the quips this whole time. It's like, leave some for the rest of us. And it's like, she's home. It's like, oh, I'm like, part
it's
of
like,
me
Ezra, just, please.
It's like, kid, would you shut up? I'm like, cut the chatter, Red 2. It's just, please be quiet and let the adults do their job. But anyway, then Ezra gives out, when they have the enforcements, he gives out a carabast, and we cut to da, 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 and we have titles, we go, the battle continues, and they get the cargo, they get the Beskar, they get the baby, they get it all, and they go and we meet, we go to their little fleet, which is pretty much a lot of, but four or five blockade runners, and we meet Rebel Commander Sato, who will remain a presence for a while, and we're cut back to Lothal, where Minister Tua is not having a good day. She's having a no fun, no frills, very bad day, you could say. And she's still trying to make this work, and the specter of those two dead idiots from season one is probably hanging over. She's like, I don't know what to do. I can't find the rebels.
They're beheaded corpses.
Yeah, she's like, and they're still on their bodies are still on the floor. She's like, I'm doing everything I can. And she's talking to Kallus, and Kallus has no sympathy for her. Tarkin wants results, and he's not sympathetic. Tarkin's own Star Destroyer was just destroyed, let's not forget. So Tarkin's not thrilled, and he's taking it personally. And Tua says, I don't know what else to do. And that's when we hear Vader enters the episode and says, perhaps that is the problem. Enter Vader, played by James Earl Jones, and he says, you lack imagination, Minister, when it comes to producing results. And you know who doesn't lack imagination is Vader, and he owns this episode.
Oh, yeah.
Vader
yeah.
owns this episode. Every step of this turns out to be his design. And it's a shame because by the end, they say, okay, well, the job's not done, but put more Inquisitors on it, and let's, you know, come back. We have other business. And they kind of have to do that. Because if Vader was the villain this whole time, the show would be over.
Yeah, because you can't beat Vader. Like, he's the end game. He's the boss.
And,
so it's like, whenever you see Vader, you know it's bad news. Like,
they barely, I mean, you there's no beating him. You might survive.
Right.
You might escape, maybe.
And you're going to be hurt. It's like, that's the best you can hope for. It's like, oh, what did you lose? Oh, just a hand? Okay, you were lucky.
Yeah.
And then Kanan says it at one point. It's like, kill him. It's like, we were lucky we're lucky we're alive. It's like, I have no idea what we're up against, you snippy little kid. Anyway, so Vader's now on the scene, and he is now no stranger. He's going to be using some brutal tactics that Tua is not used to. Tua is going to be sent to Tarkin, and Vader says, to account for your failure. And she's not all that excited about her trip to Tarkin.
She's going to have a meeting with Dr. Ball, I think.
Dr. Ball.
Yeah. Will you excuse me, please? It's like, please remove your big hat and let me inspect you. She's still proper and neck up straight and wearing that big weird hat. I actually like that hat, but it's quite a hat.
Of course.
Matt, what are your thoughts on the hat?
You know, it's another one in a long line of weird 70s-esque Star Wars hats. I appreciate it.
Yep. Looks unwieldy.
Bush, yeah. Thoughts on Minister Tua's hat? Looks unwieldy, says Caitlin Bush.
Yeah.
You stand by that?
Yeah, I do.
Caitlin, how much money in the real world would it take for you to wear that hat for an entire day out in public?
For an entire day?
Regular clothes, not the rest of the outfit, just like your regular clothes, and you don't know the day. Your regular clothes, and then I come along and say, today's the day, and I put that hat on you. And for the rest of the day, in public, in front of probably people you're interviewing and everything, and when they ask about it, you can't say it's part of a bet.
Oh, I can't say it's part of a bet. My it was going to be pretty low at first.
Yeah, you have to say, no, it's just my fashion choice for today, if anyone asks.
And
then possibly I work at the White House.
I'd ask that you pay my rent for a month.
Okay, somebody get us that hat. We're going to do it.
It makes a statement. Makes a statement. You know?
Yeah.
It certainly does.
And none of this, this is not a quarantine-based deal. This is once everything, like in 3 years when everything's back open again, we're doing this. Because everyone's going to remember the big Caitlin Bush minister to a hat bet of 2020. What a weird divergence. Anyway, that's nowhere in my notes. Anyway, it is now. Callus is smug as hell and says that Vader will manage into his absence. And I want to talk about the Vader design a little bit because it's an interesting combo of the New Hope design with the slightly reddish eye discs. It's kind of thin. Helmet is a little thin like the original Macquarie designs.
It's more angular.
Yeah, it's continuing this show's... you know, in the style of the show, but also this show loves its old Macquarie designs. And it's so kind of a merging of those two together. I like it. I mean, I also have to say that the cape works really well. And that's something that they didn't do on Clone Wars at this time. You know, they would in season 7. But I love a good cape. Even better, I love a good cloak. And you can't have Vader without his cape. You just can't. You can't.
It's true.
You gotta have the cape.
Yeah, you gotta have the cape. Come on.
Yeah.
Blowing around just majestically and in respect for Vader.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And blowing in the wind.
When he's not in the wind, it's like over him and hides his hands, and it's very like mysterious, you know?
It plays in so much to his just strutting around like a boss because the cape is just like drifting behind. It's never as if flat, like, well, there's one moment where it's flapping, but it's still not torn. Thoughts from either one of you on his design? Like it? Don't like it? Thumbs up? Thumbs down?
I like it. I mean, yeah.
Yeah, I think Matt and I are on the same kind of wavelength here where it's like, yes, I like it. It fits well with the show, but also like it's different from like OG Vader, and there's nothing wrong with that. But it's going to take me a little bit to get used to, I think.
It's the skinnifying of everything in Rebels. Like, you know, he's a little like, you know, skinny. His head's a little like, you know, I don't know. Tall.
So, he got so crushed saying, a little bit.
Yeah.
He went into the garbage compactor.
Right.
Into the trash compactor and like got squished up a little bit.
And they didn't stop it in time.
No.
And he ended up in there. He's like, see what happens? See what happens, Larry? See what happens, Larry? but this is all, and their lightsabers were in there too, apparently. Because now they have toothpick lightsabers. So you're saying this is the skinifying of everything. Are you saying that's just a design choice you don't like, or this is part of Star Wars fat-shaming fans? Caitlin Bush, which one is it?
It is neither putting words in my mouth over here.
I didn't put words in your mouth. I'm simply posing a question.
And I don't think – it's not that I don't like it.
No, it's okay. It's okay. You hate it.
Hey, I'll take any Vader. I'll take any Vader.
It's going to take a while to get used to.
It's not that I don't like it.
It's still Vader.
I despise it.
Well, and let me just say,
ultimately, you still get the James Earl Jones voice, and that's where the power of Vader comes from.
Yeah. Exactly.
What were you going to say, Matt?
No, I was going to say, now that having seen Vader in Clone Wars too, like it's like, that was some hot Vader animation. You know, it's hard to.
Yeah, I mean that was also how many years later. I mean, and it was for one scene. So, but yeah, I mean. Oh, is it fair? Oh, thank you. wow. Okay.
We're
getting the hat. Yep. My Ugnaughts over here are making that hat, Caitlin. They're making the Tua hat. Strangely enough, Galaxy's Edge does not sell Minister Tua hats. Get on that,
Disney.
We already talked about the message and everything else. The message that Chopper brings in is old Joe, the bartender, the Athorian bartender, the Black Series figure that Matt Romano really wants but doesn't have yet. And it's a message from Tua, who's desperate and ready to change sides. She wants to defect, and she has a list of rebel sympathizers that the Empire has, and they want the list. So they want to help her, but they also want the list. And it's like, and she also knows, this is an interesting that they drop, that they don't pay off in this episode, but it does in the series as well. She knows the real reason the Empire is on Lothal. She says it's not about fighter production or the planet's resources. There's another reason known only to a few, and it was ordered by the Emperor himself. And it was like, wow. And it's like, So for the Emperor himself officially being interested in Lothal, fire the cannon. Cannon! Ezra's in immediately. So is Ahsoka and then all the others and even Sato. But they have to get approval. So Sato approves the mission. Okay, we cut back to Tua and she's seen walking out of her room. But she's spotted by Kallus, who has a Dr. Ball probe droid follow her. And Kallus is not fooled by Tua. The ghost is too identifiable. And the Empire can possibly track it, so they have to take a shuttle to Lothal for the mission. The plan is to nab Tua right before she gets on the shuttle to go and see Tarkin. Why help? Ezra says, because that's what we do. We help those who can't help themselves. And Hera's proud. And then he says, plus her list will help us out. And we're like, okay, so it's the right thing to do, and also there's something in it for you.
And then he adds, like, are you an angel? Okay, sorry.
Yeah, an angel. They live on the moons of Iago, I think.
Iago.
And then they just play episode one racer for the rest of the episode. On approach to Lothal, Ezra feels cold, so they give him a blanket. No, but it's cold in that dark side way. The Imperial presence on Lothal has stepped up a lot. Zeb and Chopper stay with the shuttle. The others go for Tua. There's Kanan and Hera banter here. He says, don't worry, General Hera. And she makes such a face at him. It can't be described. It's such a censor at the ready, but the face says, go f*** yourself.
Ooh.
It's so good.
Just totally. But it's like, do that. But also, maybe let's bang one out right here in the street. It's like, it's sorry.
She's so totally done with that. His sh-.
Yeah, wow. But also, like, wants to jump him. Right there. It's like they're either going to kill each other or kill each other by doing it. You know, it's it's there. Sorry. It's, you know, that's just the way it is. Is it? I didn't need to say that. Anyway, Kanan steals some trooper armor. And Sabine says, Kanan's gone bucket head. And everyone laughs. No one laughs. Tua arrives and she's really, it's like, good one, Sabine. It's your first joke of the show. Tua arrives, but she's with Kallus. Not good. Things are feeling bad, but then Sabine starts shooting. Kanan starts shooting. Kallus starts shooting. Ezra tells Tua to get on the shuttle, which she does, and it promptly explodes. She's dead. This is a trap. For good measure, Kallus blames the rebels, saying that they did it, and Vader has been watching from above the whole time. Zeb and Chopper come down with the shuttle, but the imps shoot it down, so now they're fairly screwed. Vader has a holocall, has a holocall with Vader, and this was all Vader's plan, to draw the rebels out, and man, did it work perfectly. I like how they do it and then show it's his plan. It's more exciting that way, and they let you think that they're winning. Instead of showing, here's the plan, and then here's Vader's plan, and here's them walking into it. It's a better way of structuring it, isn't it? The next step is, Vader says, to tell the populace of Lothal that the rebel assassins, the killers of Tua, are hiding in their midst, and he locks down the port. So that's another brilliant move. For one thing, it's like, trap them, frame them, turn the very populace that they're trying to help against them. Textbook, it's like, wow, Vader's got a really good manual on fascism. And he's doing it. The rebels once again hide in Ezra's old home. Alton Castle's latest broadcast blasts the propaganda that Vader was just talking about. Troops blast in, and I like that when they blow the door, it looks just like the door blowing at the beginning of New Hope.
It's,
You know, I really like that little nod. The rebels have to get off the planet entirely now. Hera's been saying, it's like, we just have to go. We have to leave the entire planet now. And Kanan's idea is to use one of the factory landing pads because the troops are spread thin. Ezra takes one last look back at his house and says, guess there's no going home. Or guess there really is no going home. Something like that. Anyway. Outside the factory, Kanan's still in the Imperial armor, and now Ezra is in cadet armor. And I like this bit. They're moving big crates into the hangar. Ezra tries a Jedi mind trick on a trooper, and it does not work.
Kanan does it, and it does work, and I like this exchange. Ezra says, I wish that worked for me. Kanan says, I wish it worked on you. And he's like, good. And he's like, yeah, he really does. So the others are inside the crates. They burst out, and Zeb has a line about him smelling bad, being packed in a crate. Yeah, Caitlin Bush, how many months of rent would I have to pay to trap you in a crate with Zeb for, say, 2 hours? You'd be able to breathe.
Like 6 months.
Ooh. Wow. So that's like, you'd rather do that less than the Tua hat?
Yeah.
What if you had to be in that crate wearing the Tua hat?
See, now we're getting to a whole other level.
Would that be make or break, or would that be me just like putting a hat on a hat?
That you just putting a hat on a hat right there. That's what
okay.
You know,
okay. Well, that's what I do. That's my call sign. Hat on.
No, for
hat.
Once in Star Wars, I'd like to see a big crazy Star Wars monster and someone just be like, "Oh, he smells rather nice." Like, you know, just flip the script. Like, why can't any of these monsters smell nice? You know.
Yeah, that's why you're a Zizor fan.
Exactly, the pheromones.
Because he's the one. Not only does he smell nice, but he uses that scent and his pheromones to seduce people.
Zizor.
So Matt Romano being obsessed with the Feline and the way they smell. Cannon, fire. Okay, so they get out. They get out of the crates. They go for a shuttle. They grab some shield generators. Kanan stops in his tracks, however, because now both he and Ezra feel cold, and they look back, and there's this amazing shot of Vader in a doorway, and his red saber lights up. Troopers rush in behind him. He struts forward. To be continued. Immediately. Because we're going right in. That's the end of part one, but we begin with part two. Oh, man. Here's where Ezra and Kanan spark up their lightsabers, and they go up against Vader, and they try, and they fail. Because they can barely hold it together against Vader. Vader effortlessly, from the first blow Kanan, you know, swings at him, holds the first blow back with just one arm. The troopers take on the other rebels while Vader proceeds to kick Kanan's ass one-handed pretty much the whole time. He literally at one point, I'd forgotten that he did this, picks Kanan up by the wrist, no force or whatever, just picks him up like by the wrist and then throws him against a wall hard.
Ain't nothing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, Ezra can't even get close. Vader force pushes him against another wall. Vader says, your master has deceived you into thinking you could become a Jedi, and starts to force push Ezra's own lightsaber to Ezra's throat, and it gets closer, and it hits at Ezra's head, gets cut off, it falls to the floor. End of series. Yeah. Not really. Metal. Star Wars Rebels. Metal. Anyway, we go back. Kanan sees what's about to happen and he stops it. Ezra breaks free and they keep trying, but they are just no match at all for Vader. Vader gets a really good hit on Kanan's pauldron and bears the mark then for the rest of the show. And similar to Luke, it reminded me of Luke's one only successful hit on Vader in Empire Strikes Back. And this right here is why you wear the pauldron, Matt.
Yeah.
This is why. Because you never know.
You never know.
You're going to lose an arm.
Crazy Sith Lord is going to come along and swing a lightsaber at that shoulder.
Yeah. He's got to protect his shoulder. He hurt it in an old,
just football that
injury. I don't know.
If Vader had gone for the other shoulder, it's bye-bye shoulder.
Exactly.
But, you know, he learns, like, that's the shoulder he keeps his value.
He really likes that shoulder. Yeah.
Yeah. Matt Romano, what if I? How much to pay you to wear that shoulder pauldron for, let's say, a week?
Oh, I would wear it all the time. You know, badass I would look.
You don't even need to pay him.
I don't have to pay you anything.
No, it's like pay me anything.
Now we should talk. It's like, well, how much are you going to pay me to get that for you?
And exactly. You know, someone would be like, why are you wearing that? I'd be like, don't worry about it. You know?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Fascinating psychiatric results that we're tallying up. Why is he tallying these up here? Yeah. Okay.
Great. Thank you.
All these games, don't think like they're not going to happen on the next Spotchka Nights. Anyway.
Yeah.
Spotchka Nights.
The episode, I have to say, the animation of this fight and everything Vader here is really fantastic. I love this so much because they just don't. Vader's status is so high, they just are hopeless.
Yeah, absolutely.
They can't get a single hit on him. Sabine does what she always does in hopeless situations, which is blow some stuff up. She hits some walkers with some detonators, and one of them falls right on Vader after the only successful force push of him happens. and they think, yay, Vader's gone, and they win, and then, nope, the walker starts to rise up, rise up.
Here he comes.
Here comes the general.
Sorry. And lo, Vader is under it, lifting it up with the Force, not a scratch on him, and this
everyone's
image,
like, horrified.
It cuts to him closer, and he's lifting it up effortlessly over his head and just drops it behind him like it was a stick in his way on the ground.
The flames are there, and it's very good.
And I have to give it mind blown. On rewatch, the first time I saw this, oh my God, I couldn't believe it. Because this is before, correct me if I'm wrong, but this is before Rogue One. So this was before we saw the Rogue One rampage in the hallway.
Yeah.
So this is
this is the first Vader action that we're seeing.
Yeah. And they got to be careful with using these characters, especially certainly Tarkin and stuff like that. But with Vader, they can't have him lose. They have to, they're taking a big risk putting him on this show at all. And I think this episode is so successful to me because it makes Vader just the unstoppable force that, you know, we hear he is a lot, but you don't always see in the movies.
Right.
You do a lot, but it's like just, this is a whole, you know, hour pretty much of Vader just being an unstoppable force. And Ezra says, if that doesn't kill him, what will? And Kanan's like, not us. And he's right. Sabine even tries to get a few shots off. Vader deflects both of those back. Both of them hit her. One of them right in the helmet. And she goes down immediately.
In the Beskar.
It's like, and that's why you always wear a helmet. and so they get away. Sabine's not dead, but she's shaken up. A trooper tells Vader he'll mobilize the fighters, and Vader, another character, his brother. Darth Vader, he's on the scene. Vader tells him that's not necessary. Ezra doesn't get who this is. Another Inquisitor, and Kanan says, no, it was a Sith Lord. Much worse. And this is the first time I think Sith and the thing of Sith Lords is brought up on the show. Again, something else that, I mean, history is not a part of Kanan's Jedi lessons.
Mm-hmm.
It's like maybe, okay, there was this big war that we just had. It was like a Sith mastermind. What's a Sith? Glad you asked. Maybe alongside, it's like also the dark side. Caitlin Bush, I can tell you want to drag Kanan's teaching a little bit here.
He's so bad at it.
Yeah,
he's not good. I know that he's still a Padawan. He never actually became a Jedi. But there's a baseline here that you just are not meeting.
Yeah. Make a syllabus.
Make a syllabus. Make a PowerPoint presentation with pictures and visual references. You know, there's the dark side of the Force and there's the light side of the Force.
Yeah, it's like here's the basics. Here's what you need to know, and then it's like then get into the deflecting and the tricks like that. It's like first thing. Okay, forget about the Force and the dark side. We're gonna go right past all that stuff. First thing, how to hit something with your laser sword. Yeah, it's like, okay, it's like, yeah, that's all good stuff, but that's background. And yeah, we have the benefit of hindsight, but I'd like to think if you wound up with a Padawan right now, Caitlin, that you'd start with, you know, with the basics first.
I would hope so.
I mean, who's to say you haven't already? Da, da, da. Oh. Matt Romano, thoughts on Kanan, syllabuses, syllabi?
Syllabi.
Darth syllabi.
Yeah, sure. Yeah, he would be. That would be helpful. You know.
Yeah, sure. I thought that was your whole thing. I'm like, yeah, sure. To what? I was like,
yeah.
The ancient Jedi texts.
How much money to create a Jedi syllabus wearing a minister to a hat and a pauldron while locked in a crate with Zeb?
Ugh, man, Zeb really pushes it over the edge. But I'll do it. Why not? I'll do it for free. Sounds fun.
Okay.
I'm bored.
You're a real cheap date there.
Cannon fire. Okay. They go, we're back to Callus and Vader. Vader mentions Tarkin Town is the place where they go to ground a lot and say he doesn't think the rebels are there, but he wants Callus to burn it anyway because he's going to use the compassion of the rebels against them. It's like, wow, this is cold. Not only physically formidable, but this is terrible. He's just, I know they're not there. Burn it down anyway. Lando is on the holocom because they don't have to smuggle themselves off Lothal. And Hera's like, I know just the person. And they both say at once, not him. But yes, it's him. Lando on the holocom with Hera and Kanan. They trade him some of the shield generators, and they have a fun game of, well, how many do they really have and how many are they going to give? He says he's not on the planet, but his droid is. His droid's name is W1LE and talks with a southern drawl like this. It's like, well, Lando's, his things are right over here, so why don't you come over here and get them?
It's weirdly appropriate.
And weirdly, and also fun, that's Sam Witwer. Doing that
hey.
Voice. So, in the distance, Ezra then sees burning talking town and goes to take a speeder and check it out. And yeah, the whole place is burned, and Kanan follows and says it's, you know, they're spreading fear and making everyone afraid, and it's kind of working. The villagers get caught in the middle because now their actions have a cost. It's what they do. It's like, this is, you know, it's kind of a riff on this is why you wear the mask. Not for you, but for the people you love. It's like now, it's like, they're speaking out, they're taking action, and here comes Vader to burn down not your town, but your friend's town. So they can't even go and free the prisoners from the burning town. They have to leave the planet right quick. Sabine has a better escape plan than Lando's and puts it into action using multiple transponders. Something reminded me of Firefly. They do this on Firefly. They just put out, it's like, we'll put out lots of transponders. And they won't know what to do. The imps eventually figure it out, but it's too late. They're away. They discuss where they're going to go. Are they going to go back to the rebellion or what? Zeb says he likes fighting with Phoenix Squadron and reminds him of the Lasat Honor Guard. Ultimately, they can't help Lothal until they get stronger, and they can get stronger by working with the Rebel fleet. So they get away, but Vader has played his famous trick from A New Hope and put a tracking device on that shuttle, so he's tracking their ship. The shuttle rejoins Phoenix Squadron, but the minute they get there, Chopper registers the tracking device has sent out their location. It's too late, and then Vader's special TIE fighter comes flying in. No support, no Star Destroyers, one fighter. And if anything, if anything, it's like in that one fighter, it's like this is not an even fight because they have like six heavy cruisers. Like a lot of fighters or whatever versus one TIE fighter, and it's not fair to them. Sato mobilizes the A-Wings to intercept, and we get more glorious classic rebellion imagery. But yeah, it's a small feat, and as Caitlin just said, Vader just lays waste. He also, I love immediately when he goes into action, he spins that TIE fighter in a way we've never seen him do it in that fighter before. And immediately I'm like, I'll try spinning. That's a good trick.
It's just like the most Anakin... Just like they're still, he's pure evil now, but like that flair and that arrogance is still there.
Still got it. Still got it.
It's still Sky Guy. It's still, and I love that they have him. Part of this is, it's you can't beat him in a lightsaber match, and you're not going to beat him in space either because he's still got the moves. And seeing him
chosen one,
what he can really do in that fighter, because there's a limit to how much they were able to show in A New Hope. But what they show him, the moves they show him pulling here, he's got moves for days. And even Sato's like, how can one fighter best our entire squadron? Like, it's because it's Sky Guy, dude. Sky Guy, evil Sky Guy. Coming soon to Disney Plus.
He's Skyman now.
Yeah. We'll be right back after these messages.
Skyman now.
Do you want Sunny D or the purple stuff?
Choose wisely.
Yeah, it's like, I'm not a Sky Guy, I'm a Sky Man. That's good. That's good. It's very good
stuff. Good stuff.
Good stuff all around. Let's all high five. Anyway, Hera runs for the ghost, says she's getting involved. Not without Kanan, she's not. And also the rest of the crew. Also, Ahsoka says to Ezra, all right, if I tag along. And I'm like, yay! Because Ahsoka has not been in this episode all that much. Vader's fancy flying moves for days. I just said that out loud, but I have it in the notes, so I want to say it anyway. The ghost launches, and Hera says, all right, kids, do mom and dad proud. And I'm like, there we go. Okay. Again, mom and dad. The ship.
I know.
The relationship. You guys are just stunned. You're like, how are we going to deal? How are we going to answer this?
Matt and I are going to have to have a meeting.
It's like, okay, is there a question in here somewhere? anyway, the ghost engages Vader, and they have another round of kind of, who is this guy? And again, it's like the street rat, loath rat chase from the opening. It's like, except it's the evil version. The main rebel cruiser is getting really badly damaged. Again, no other ships are on the scene. This is just one TIE fighter doing all this. Ahsoka then senses the Force is strong with whoever is in this fight, or she and Kanan reach out with the Force together to figure out how strong. Ezra feels the cold again, and over the comms, he says he knows who it is. The anger, the fear, the hate. And we start cutting between Vader and Ahsoka as he talks, eventually tight on Ahsoka as she's reaching out with the Force. And Ezra says, it's the Sith Lord we face. And Ahsoka's eyes pop open. We cut to Vader's eyes. And Vader says, the apprentice lives. Yes. And Ahsoka screams, no, and then passes out. And apparently, and this is, I mean, talk about a huge moment. I mean,
yeah. Jeez.
And talk about something that plays very differently after the end of the finale of Clone Wars.
Yes.
Yeah.
Because now it's Vader apparently did not know for sure that Ahsoka was still around. He for sure knows now. Ahsoka didn't also really know the truth about Vader and still kind of doesn't. But just knows that she'll spend a little while figuring out what she sensed, but she kind of knows in the back of her mind. She just doesn't want to admit it. For all of that, fire the cannon. Because that scene, the way they cut that together, the continuing way they do this with cutting to Ahsoka's eyes to Vader's eyes in this episode, I didn't notice it before until I rewatched it now, but it's masterful how they do that. And again, I said, for all we know, the last time Vader even thought about Ahsoka is when he was picking up that lightsaber in the clone graveyard. And yeah. Now he knows for certain. That line, I'll never forget that line, the apprentice lives. I'll never forget that.
Mm-hmm.
Vader then follows the ghost, leaves the command ship, and which is about to blow. Star Destroyers arrive, and Vader tells them to block the fleet's escape. He wants them alive, especially now that he knows Ahsoka is with them. Sato finally abandons his command ship and transfers all of the rest of them onto a blockade runner. The fleet escapes, aside from the ghost, which is now caught between Vader and the SDs, and Hera pulls a fancy, brilliant move and manages to escape, and unfortunately, only because the incompetent Star Destroyer people get Vader in their tractor beam instead of the ghost, and the ghost gets away, and the Admiral says, it's not your fault to the poor tractor beam operators. Like, it's not your fault, officer, but Lord Vader won't know that. It's like, okay, so he knows that Vader's going to kill whoever did this.
Yeah.
And he's going to say, yep, it was that guy. No,
he's got a
Captain
bit of a reputation.
Nita. Yeah, no Captain Nita saying, I'll assume full responsibility. It's like, it's making him look really good. He's like, yeah. It's like, I'll take responsibility. It'll be fine. But this guy says, nope, it was him, Lord Vader. Kill him. I had nothing to do with it. Important to point out, this mustache Imperial is Admiral Cassius Constantine, both spelled with a K.
What a name.
Have a name much? Cassius Constantine. He's seen at the end of season one, but he's going to be, don't worry, Caitlin. I know you want a whole spinoff, but you're going to be getting more of old Cassius Constantine. So worry not.
Thank God.
Spend the day with Cassius Constantine in a Minister Tua hat. I'll give you a whole year of rent for that. The ghost is back with the fleet, and Ezra and Kanan meet with Ahsoka, and she asks about the Sith Lord, and Kanan describes him and ultimately says, I haven't felt a presence like that since, and Ahsoka says, the Clone Wars. Ezra asks if she knows who or what he is, and she says she doesn't, but she says that he'll be coming. They'll all be coming now. And she doesn't know for certain, but she's not saying. Anyway, they're going to fight, and the whole gang is behind them, and it ends with kind of, we'll be right beside you, yay! And Ahsoka gives them this slight smile and looks forward. She's really still the only one that knows what the stakes really are at this point. She's like, have your fun. It's like, have your bonding in your family. It's like, but this is really troubling. And then we go to Callus and Constantine are congratulating Vader. He kicks them out of the room immediately, though Callus gives him an inquiring look back. Callus is, you know, a lot smarter than a lot of these guys. And he gets on the holocom with the Emperor, voiced here by Sam Witwer again. Sam Witwer, until the fourth season of the show, when the Emperor sporadically pops up, it's usually Sam doing the voice. And he does a great Emperor. It's pretty
absolutely
flawless. Yeah, he tells the rebels Vader says the rebels on Lothal are broken, but that he believes the apprentice of Anakin Skywalker lives and that he is in league with these rebels. Emperor says, are you certain? And Vader says, it was her. And that's the way James Earl Jones says. Hearing James Earl Jones' voice talk about Ahsoka is incredible, because that's, you know, we're not used to that era of Sky Guy talking about Ahsoka, so it ties the whole thing together. The Emperor says it is an opportunity. She could lead them to other Jedi. Vader immediately says, such as Kenobi, and Emperor says, if he lives, be patient. For now, dispatch another Inquisitor to hunt them down. Vader says, as you wish. The end. So, fire the cannon, cannon for major Ahsoka Vader material, and there being more than one Inquisitor. Wonder when we're going to meet that Inquisitor, or maybe multiple Inquisitors. Anyway, final thoughts on the Siege of Lothal. Caitlin Bush.
I think my favorite moment is when, after Ahsoka has interacted a little bit with Vader here, and via the Force, and she says, no, I don't know who that is, and I went over that a lot in my head, and no, she actually doesn't know who this person is, because that's not her master anymore. That's not her brother who she once knew, and that's absolutely fascinating and heartbreaking to me.
Yeah, and so she's going to be working it out. I feel like she has this tingling fear that that is who it is, but she doesn't want to admit it. She's scared.
Yeah. She's like, she didn't even get to hug him.
Well, maybe she will. I'll keep that hope alive. It's, you know, there's always hope. Matt Romano, thoughts from the rewatch perspective.
Oh, I mean, like, well, like you said, I said this before, but after finishing Clone Wars and now watching this episode, it's like so much more impactful knowing how things left off. And, you know, like you said before, I just dug all of the beautiful Rebel-esque, you know, original trilogy imagery and action that's going on here. And it just makes me pumped for everything to come forward. I know it comes forward, but like, this is really like, I mean, we say it every episode, but this is the turning point. This is when it gets really cool.
No, this was a huge, I mean, the end of season one was, but this one was huge.
This one was huge.
And I remember when they showed this at Comic-Con that summer, the people that came out of it said, you guys have no idea. They were saying this episode is to the next level. And I was so jealous. So I think the hype was so huge, they wanted to ride that hype. And they continue because once we get more into season two, we waste no time. And you thought you liked having Ahsoka back. Well, we're about to meet another old friend. Next week, we will be going further into season two. We're going to start with the Lost Commanders, discussing that and every episode after that, up and through Legacy. So if you're playing along at home, those are the everything from the Lost Commanders through into including the episode Legacy. Stop when you hit a princess on Lothal. Stop if you're playing along at home and you want to just watch along with us. Or, I mean, by all means, go ahead and watch that episode. But a lot of people have asked. So we're not going to be talking about Princess on Lothal next week. But with that, we are going to take a very necessary break. So stay right there. We'll be right back with so much more.
Okay, it's time to commit. 2024 is the year for prioritizing yourself. Begin your new smile journey with Byte, and you could start seeing results in just 2 to 3 weeks. Just order your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95 at Byte.com. Byte Clear Aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces. Plus, they offer financing options, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA, FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
We're back, and now it's time to go to some galactic points of interest.
Good news has come to the citizens of Lothal.
I'm going to throw to Caitlin Bush for another rumor, and here's the sound.
So we didn't talk about this when it was popping up and getting really big on social media a couple of weeks ago, and I it's been bothering me that we haven't really talked about it. Obviously, as mentioned, it is a rumor, but the rumor is a fun one that Hayden Christensen will be returning in some form as Anakin in Kenobi, in the Obi-Wan Kenobi show, which is incredibly exciting. In my mind, it's like it's going to be flashbacks if this is a thing that exists. Obviously, by the time we're getting to the Kenobi show, the idea is that we're expecting it to be, you know, Obi-Wan on Tatooine, like by himself, kind of like lone wolf kind of moment. I've been referring to it as like the Logan of the Star Wars universe. But I think some flashbacks with Hayden would be A plus. That would be heartbreaking, and it's gonna kill me if it's true.
Well, flashbacks would be awesome too, because like they could flashback to Clone Wars era things in live action form, which would be interesting to see, like a battle we saw played out in the animated series, but now you're seeing just a snippet of it live. That would be very cool.
That would be cool.
It's like, what else happened on Yavanna?
Yeah, exactly. And I think the other side Caitlin, is like, you know, he obviously could appear as a Force ghost, but I think that would raise a lot of, I don't know, questions, you know? Oh, yeah.
That's a little problem.
Can we cut that? Oh, my God. I got my.
No, absolutely not. Absolutely not. That stays.
All of your timelines mixed up.
Now you'd be like, yeah, Force ghost, but he's, I mean.
It took me a second. Sorry.
Let's not forget who kills Kenobi.
Aspirin.
So.
Well, now I'm just embarrassed.
Well done, Doctor Who. Anyway,
oh my God.
All of this, Caitlin, though, is for the Disney Plus show Kenobi.
Kenobi.
I just have to get that out there because I love playing that.
I
know that's. It's an interesting rumor. It's about how they're going to do it, and I'm all for it. I mean, but if they're going to do flashbacks, Matt, why are you holding your Y-wing up in front of the camera? Okay, I won't question. I'll just go with it. It's great. We've seen it.
I play with it. I fiddle while I talk.
And I'm glad. I'm happy about that. I appreciate your journey. But the interesting thing of that, if they do flashbacks with Hayden, is that they could also. And this is still a rumor, though everyone's treating it as fact, that Ahsoka's coming to live action. She could be in the mix too. So if you're going to have Hayden. It's like, then if you're going to have a flashback to Clone Wars era Hayden and Obi-Wan, Anakin and Obi-Wan, like throw in Ahsoka.
You can have snips
in there too.
Ian McGregor in a scene with Ahsoka live action? God.
Yeah. So
the only heartbreaking thing is that it's not, you know, the thing is we're used to, you know, Matt, James, and Ashley. Yeah. And it's not, it won't
it's
be that.
Memories.
Yeah. I'm still not ready. I'm all for Ahsoka in live action. I'm just not ready to let Ashley go. I'm not. And I don't think I should be.
I don't think anyone is asking you to let her go. It's just
no,
a different thing.
A lot of people are throwing rocks at my window right now telling me to let her go. I will not. I'm not. No. Like my father. Anyway, time to cut the pears, as we say here. Let's move on. Some comics news. This is interesting. I say that way too many times on the show. Anyway, comics publishing is ramping back up, from what I understand, both in digital and physical. Marvel originally announced that things would resume on May 27th. That didn't happen. They got pushed. But July 22nd, they did. And all I know is we got a new Star Wars title on the 22nd. We're recording this on the 23rd, so we got it yesterday. But Dr. Aphra number 2, from what I read, it's in physical and digital, continuing Aphra's adventures in the Empire Strikes Back time period. This is the second run of Dr. Aphra, to clarify, with her new team. They're already in a lot of trouble and already fighting with each other, of course. So I know it's available digitally. I don't know. My own physical comic shops aren't. I haven't ventured to them to even see if they're open yet, so I don't know. But, you know, be careful. By all means, be very, very careful and don't take any unnecessary risks. But, you know, if you can support your local comic book shop, if they're still around, please do. I always feel bad because I talk about digital comics a lot. I know that's an issue. But, you know, be careful. But I think it is available physically now as well, which is great. Speaking of being careful and everything else, Galaxy's Edge is open, at least in Orlando. So a lot of social distancing measures are going on. If you want to see what those measures are like, there are a lot of videos already on YouTube. there's an interesting one, Walt Disney World Food Blog, that channel, has an interesting look at all four of the main parks in Orlando that shows what the distancing looks like, what the rules are, what the big plastic shields are, and all that stuff. So if you really want to look and see how they're combating it, that's all on YouTube. There's one on Hollywood Studios, and you can see it. And it's also cool in case you want to see what Galaxy's Edge looks like. You can just, it's, you know, immersive, and let them go and wear the mask and put up with, you know, risking their lives, and then you don't have to. Is that what I'm saying? Okay. Well, what
are the storms?
I'll also point out Sci-Fi Wire has a weekly column called Theme Park News, where we lay out all of the social distancing measures that are happening at all of the parks. In large part Disney World, because it's the one that's the most open right now.
You can read about it there. If you want to see it, then they're there and you can see these big plastic shields and everything. It's interesting to see. I'm like, I'm still not going to go, but it's nice to see. Apparently, like, wait times haven't really been affected. They're saying it's still hard to get on Rise of the Resistance, except they have changed their digital sign up. Instead of just the one at the beginning of the day, there are three now throughout the day, and maybe that's something. We're all still around for Spaceballs 2. Maybe, we'll actually get to do that. So who knows?
I'd like to see Disney deploy the stormtroopers across the park, you know, to enforce the mask rules.
Right.
You know, like, just get the stormtroopers in Magic Kingdom. Let's get serious, you know?
Do it.
Yeah.
Wow. That is some dark side energy you just threw out.
I'm into it.
Okay. Shifting to our next segment, the Hutts weren't very happy with Mbop. Last week, but they decided to let her have another chance, although that doesn't seem fair that I get one chance and Mbop gets two, but whatever. Welcome back to Mbop's Book Club.
The Sacred Jedi Texts.
Mbop, Mbop, Uba, hey, everybody. Mbop. This week's title is Star Wars Myths and Fables. It is a collection of stories written by George Mann and illustrated by Grant Griffin. Notable entries involve Obi-Wan Kenobi in exile on Tatooine, and an interlude on Batuu, and also a story titled The Witch and the Wookiee. Fun for bedtime and also fun in the morning while you are eating your space waffles. Mbop. Mbop. Ooba. And that's been a lovely time. If you look out your window, you can see Mbop, Mbop.
Dear Mr. Dashwood, enclosed are the first few chapters of a piece I've only begun working on.
Okay.
Wow. Mbop, stealing your stuff, Matt.
I would like a reprogramming on that, please. That's not cool.
You've made quite an impression on Mbop. I think she has a... Matt, I don't want to tell tales out of school here, but I know this to be true, Matt. Mbop has a crush on you.
Oh, man. Well, I mean, that's terrifying because the birthing paddle just really, I mean,
I know.
The hand, there's
and
no
she,
hand.
She's telling me, she's like, yeah. I know, and she wants, I'm not going to tell you what she'd like to do with those paddles.
The more you
dislike Mbop, the more she loves you.
Oh no!
I'm sorry. And Mbop's giving me a look right now, although it's hard to tell because it's just the one big blue and then green eye blinking. But yeah, it's time. It's time the secret got out there, Mbop, that you have a thing for Matt. So know that
I'm incredibly uncomfortable. Yeah,
who's gonna tell your Twi'lek wife?
Yeah,
no better time than everyone. Hold on to something. Matt's uncomfortable. Here we go. It's Captain's Corner.
I haven't had my muffin yet, Matt.
Wear yourself out there a little bit.
Little tired. I'm a little tired.
You didn't even get to the everybody. It's just hey.
Everybody! Woohoo! Oh, please go away. Please go away. Please put your paddle down. God. Thank you. Oh, well, everybody, welcome to the Captain's Corner. It's another beautiful day in the corner. If you will look out your rear window here in the Starbinger, we are passing by a wonderful nebula. It's beautiful. The clouds are purple and orange. We'll paint a picture for you.
Beautiful.
It's gorgeous. Anyway, so the news this week that we have here in the Captain's Corner, it's all about merchandising.
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 Merchandising. Merchandising.
Yeah, that's right. We all love a little Star Wars merchandising. And today we're talking about all these amazing new collectibles announced by Star Wars that are based on Galaxy's Edge. They're all souvenirs or toys based on the theme parks we were just discussing. And now they're soon to arrive at Target. I believe the first wave is sold out. But there's some interesting stuff in here. At first, I was a little nervous. I was like, what are they selling, the Coke bottles or the Sprite cans or whatever? But
which you would totally buy.
I would probably buy, but you know, more
you
of
would
a
definitely buy.
Yeah, 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 maybe.
So let's not play.
Yeah.
What are some of the things that are on sale, Matt?
Yeah.
Thanks, Caitlin. There is a they have a Galaxy's Edge Millennium Falcon, which is pretty cool. You know, I mean, it's just really the Force Awakens Falcon, but it's, you know, has the picture of Batuu on
it.
It's
the one that you see that you do Smuggler's Run on. Yeah.
Is it different?
No, it's a little different. These are things they sell in the park, but now it's the first time that they're being sold outside of the park. So gotcha. It's like that, and the little ship is the ship that's part of Rise of the Resistance, stuff like that. Yeah.
I mean, some of this stuff is cool. I mean, I haven't been there, but they've got an R5 unit, Funko Pop, it looks pretty cool. They got a BB-8 looking thing, a BB unit thing.
This is Ace reporting. They got a BB-8 looking thing. They got a hammerhead. He's red guy.
Yeah.
Well, no, it's Matt. I thought of you because the one Black Series figure here that we're both, that I think you and I are both going to need is the droid we talked about. That cameos in Rebels in the episode Droids in Distress. The former pilot of Star Tours, voiced by Paul Reubens, who now is a regular DJ in Oga's Cantina. They have made a Black Series figure of him that you could previously only get in the park that I didn't see while I was there, or else I would have grabbed him. But you can get him at Target, but the pre-orders are up now, but they're all sold out.
I mean, that's definitely one of the cooler pieces of the merch there. Like, that is a fantastic looking action figure. I dig that. I want it.
Yeah.
I want it. But I also like the Lego set. There's a Lego set too, which is like a mini blockade runner. Apparently that's the ship that brings you to Galaxy's Edge, I guess.
I think it's part of Rise of the Resistance, that ship.
Oh, okay. There you go. But yeah, everything looks cool. So, coming to your local Target later this year, I believe. I don't know, but we'll see. And that's it for this week's Captain's Corner. Thank you.
All right. Caitlin, I tried. I really tried. I was like, this time I'm going to be quiet the whole time. But it's just, I couldn't.
I think at this point we know that it's impossible.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's I couldn't.
And for those at home, in our script, Brian writes under Captain's Corner, some fresh hell. So, that's what the script says. I just noticed.
That literally is what the script says.
Yeah.
And also, so people know at home, this is literally the first time this week that Matt's actually looked at the script.
Anyway, the script.
I'll now turn it over to the Jedi
Anakin
Master.
Anakin is a Force ghost. What? Okay.
The Jedi Master for our next segment.
This is Obi-Wan Kenobi, and now it's time for Caitlin's Word of the Week.
Thank you. The word of the week is apprentice.
Good job, Caitlin. She seems to be on top of things.
Ooh, dark, sinister. I like it.
Sinister.
I bet you do.
I do.
That's a good one. I love it. That's going to take us to real talk.
I'm looking forward to having some real talk with some real folks.
Okay. On Twitter, a friend of the show, I don't know if they'd consider themselves a Padawan, but if you would like to be one, we consider you one. Right now, their Twitter name keeps changing. Right now, it is Animal Crossing New Leah. Leah Elizabeth J is the handle anyway. Listener and tweets at us a fair amount, but I thought this tweet was funny. They say, definitely had a dream at some point this week that there was a new episode of Jabba the Pod all about Star Wars cereal, and was actually disappointed when I realized it wasn't real when I tried to listen to it today.
It's going to be us ASMR eating cereal.
I'm down for that. I love the suggestion.
I mean, and then I thought about it. I'm like, well, there's the Yoda baby cereal, and then there's C-3PO's. I'm like, what other Star Wars based cereals are there?
Well, I actually have a box of like Rise of Skywalker cereal upstairs that I have not eaten, that somebody gave me as
Incredible.
A gift, and I just haven't eaten.
Wait, is it just that, branded like, Rise Lando's. Of Skywalker cereal, or is it actual like, here's like characters from Rise of Skywalker made out of cereal? It's like,
I'm pretty
like
sure it's just BB. I think it's just BB-8. I got to check, but I think it's like just called Star Wars. And it's
like,
BB-8.
Exegol the cereal.
Yeah, Exegol the cereal.
We've got to get our hands on a box of C-3PO's. The thing is, you can get them on eBay, but they've gone bad. Do I want to get my hands on them? I mean, how seriously are we going to take things here?
I mean,
I'd rather not.
Are we playing around, or do we believe what we say?
Brian, how much would it cost for you to sit in a box with Zeb eating a box of Star Wars?
Is that you doing me?
I don't know.
Is that you doing me?
Yes.
Yeah, well done. Well done.
Flipping the
All
script.
Right. With that, out there, you see a beautiful day here at the end of the show. You see there's some porgil going by the window there.
Everybody's
really nice
ripping
things.
on the
news,
corner now.
Here's my freaking A-wing that
Oh my God.
With that, we're going to mercifully jump this ship and get spun right round. No.
That was great. No, we're keeping that.
With that, we're going to ship this episode off to get spun right round. But join us next week where we'll continue our journey with Star Wars Rebels.
You're Rebels, aren't you?
And as I said, we'll be covering the first part of Season 2, The Lost Commanders, up and through Legacy. If you see a young princess who seems familiar, you've gone too far. We'll also be having more fun with everything and anything in the galaxy far, far away. In the meantime, feel free to reach out to us on social media if you so choose. Caitlin Bush, you can be found where?
I can be found at Caitlin M. Bush. That is C-A-I-T-L-I-N M. Bush like the beer, not like the presidents.
Matt Romano, you can be found where?
You can find me on Twitter at Matt Romano, M-A-T-T-R-O-M-A-N-O on Twitter. And if you want to see a nice picture of an old Han Solo driving a Lego X-Wing, check it out today. I think I'm going to post a picture on my Twitter today.
Oh, no.
Oh, we'll all look forward to that. And I can be found on Twitter at Brian Silliman. That's at B-R-I-A-N, S as in Sky Guy, I-L-L-I-M-A-N. I'm also your one-stop shop for Asmorgan gifts, though probably not really. Stretch out with your feelings and share your thoughts. We love hearing from you. Subscribe, leave a comment, to give 5 stars if you're feeling generous. Snoke them if you got them. Take a chivy. And remember, hope is like the sun. If you only believe in it when you can see it, you'll never make it through the night. This is the way we have spoken. Carabast, the Force will be with you. Always. Be the spark.
Let's go to Baskerville.